Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Be not ye therefore like unto them. This is Jesus speaking. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. My subject today is, why pray if God already knows? You may be seated. You know, there is a little verse, I used it several weeks ago, that tells us that God is not obligated to answer the prayer of a sinner. Someone that has not given their life to Christ has no guarantee that God will listen or will respond to their prayers. But to we that are saints of God, there are multiple promises in the Bible that God not only hears our prayers, but God responds to our prayers. When our final account is settled, both as individuals and as a corporate church throughout the eternity of time, when that final account is settled, and the unused resources are tallied, prayer will be at the top of the list. You simply didn't use it effectively enough, and certainly did not use it often enough. The greatest error we make is not learning the art of prayer without ceasing. So many people have a prayer time. Maybe it's 15 minutes a day or whatever it is, and those are wonderful. But the real art of being effective in prayer is doing what the Apostle Paul said, I pray without ceasing. That means that you have a real relationship with God. Prayer is that glue, that cement of that relationship. Your greatest relationships are not people that you make appointments with. Your greatest relationships are the people that you communicate with consistently every day. Those are your They're greater than your family members, those people that you communicate. And so prayer without ceasing is that communication with God all the time. Not an appointment that you have, but it is a relationship with him. And we simply do not use that resource enough. I knew a church when I was preaching a lot in Louisiana, which I have. I knew a church that had a little couple that came to their church, and they'd been there for maybe like 30 or 40 years. They just were consistent people. They were not highly educated people. They just worked menial jobs all of their life. They were faithful with their attendance and their prayer and their giving. They just brought a few dollars tithe every week because they worked minimal jobs. Then they got old, and they lived quite away from the church in almost a little house that they kept neat and clean, but it was just barely one room and a little bathroom and just not much to the house at all. And so they had that little house paid for. And so they went to the church, and I preached in this church a lot. They went to the pastor, and he was one of the sweetest, kindest men I ever knew. And they said, Pastor, we're getting old, and it's difficult for us to get here. And we know you have a little church here on the little house here on the church property that's vacant. We just wondered if we could move into that house, and what we will do, we'll exchange with you everything we have. Our little house we have paid for and all of our resources, we just want to give that to the church in exchange for living there in the little house by the church for the rest of our lives. That church was not run by the pastor. He was one of the greatest people I ever met. But they had a system where they had 12 men, 12 old white men on a board. And he took it to the board, and the board said, absolutely not. And they never would let them move there. They got to where they couldn't come often. And as time has a way of doing it, passed, and then they died. But they had willed that little house to the church, and the church went in to try to clean it up, and it was finally decided it didn't have any value except the land. They just tear it down. And when they tore it down, right in their own bedroom, they found a little door. And in the walls of that house were stacks of money. Stacks of money. They hadn't made a lot of money in their life, but they'd never spent any money. And they wanted to give that all to the church, but the church just didn't see the value. The greatest mistakes that we make are unused resources. And the greatest resource the church has is prayer. Prayer is amazing. It's not a sentence that you have to fulfill. It wasn't handed down by a judge because of bad behavior. When I went to meet with the President of the United States, Brother Brent Norton is one of my favorite characters. He's just such a Christian in heart, and he's just so naive. He's 60-some years old, but he's like he's 15, and he's just naive. He's just kind and sweet. He said, Brother Steve, he said, now that you've gone to meet with the President, said you'll be talking to him every day, won't you? I said, Brent, he meets with thousands of people every year, every day, hundreds. He doesn't even, oh, yes, he will, Brother Steve. He'll be calling you every day. Well, I'm still waiting on that first call, and I'm still waiting on that second invitation. But that's what happened. When God devised prayer, he said, you, no matter who you are, have the ability to talk to me, and not only will you call, I'll answer. I can call anybody I want to in the world. A lot of them just don't answer. But when you pray, God takes your call and God answers. It's the greatest resource that we have. And we need to learn to reach into that and not make it something we have to do and something that we have to have a certain place, a certain appointment, a certain time. Pray without ceasing. But back to my thought, why is it that we need to pray if God already knows? The greatest misconception about prayer is that we're notifying God of our needs, which he is previously unaware of. That's not at all. It's really accessing our greatest privilege of power in the universe is what it is. There was a big church in Pennsylvania, and time took its toll on that church. And after about 50 years, that huge auditorium became empty, and the people moved away from the city. But they put a good preacher in that church, and they asked him to do this. Said, we want you just to oversee the final year of that church and close it down. Said, we're going to sell the property, but there's still 30 or 40 people that go in that church that seats 2,000 or 3,000 people. We want you just to very quietly begin to close it down, and we're going to sell that property. And as he began to preach, the people began to come back, not 30 or 40, but 50 and 60 and 70 and 100 and 200. And after a year, there was over 1,000 people that had come back to that church, and they couldn't figure out why. And he went to the denominational headquarters, and they commended him for the success that he'd had. They weren't going to sell the church. He said, I found out what it was. He said, there was a little lady in that church that worked 8 hours a day for the telephone company and said she retired. And she said, well, I'm not going to quit working. I'm just going to work for God now. So every morning she got up at her assigned time like she was going to her job, and she prayed. She prayed a four-hour shift. She made lunch and had lunch, and she went back for her second 4 hours. She prayed 8 hours a day. She called people's name. She began to have people and solicit people with her to pray. And he said, it had nothing to do with me. It was one woman that learned the art of praying without ceasing. Ladies and gentlemen, we have that kind of prayer, that kind of power. Your prayer can affect your family. Your prayer can affect your church. Your prayer can affect your community, your neighbors, your friends, even some of the people that you are not close to. Your prayers can have that kind of effect if you really want to do that. God is really on your side, but he wants to hear from you. And if he hears from you, I promise you that you will hear from him. The second greatest misconception we have about prayer is that we have to convince or change God's mind through prayer, or we have to persuade God out of his reluctance. The truth is that God is not a reluctant God. The Bible said, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And this phrase I love. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, there's kind of a doomsday approach that's evolved through some Christianity that for some reason God wants to hold back from you. I was kind of raised with that theology that God wanted to give you a little, but not too much. That somehow God always wanted to be kind of like the government, just give you enough to get by. Just a Social Security check where you can't really live and flourish, but maybe you won't die in the streets of poverty. That's not really the God we serve. We serve a God that will not withhold any good thing from you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This understanding that God knows our needs before we ask and will not withhold any good thing from us might lead someone to ask, then why bother to pray? That establishes the foundation of my message here this morning. How prayer works. If we don't understand this, we might be negligent in our prayer life to fulfill Paul's admonition that we need to pray without ceasing. Prayer is not persuading God out of his reluctance. I reiterate, it's laying hand on the willingness of God. God is willing to bless you. God is willing to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. So why pray if God already knows? Number one, prayer affects the devil. There is a real devil. The failure of the disciples to overcome could only be rectified by prayer. When they brought a demon-possessed boy to the disciples and they tried to work the miracle, they simply could not. And then when Jesus worked that miracle, they asked Jesus, said, why could you do it and we could not? And Jesus said, this comes out not but by prayer and fasting. When you pray, my friend, it affects the devil. It produces fear in the heart of the devil. It binds the devil. It limits the power of the devil. You understand that at Calvary, the devil's authority and power was taken away from him. Everything was taken away from the devil, and he is now living on borrowed power. And that borrowed power comes from humanity, and it comes from people that don't know God. But the greatest power the devil has is Christians that really do not understand the principles, and they allow him to get into their life. And prayerless people of God empower the devil. But when you are a person of prayer, it affects the devil greatly. It binds him. It puts fear in him. It limits him. It makes him take hold of things that he doesn't want to have to hold, and it makes him release things that he wants to hold on to. If you become a prayer warrior, and that is an old cliche and an old term, but it is vital. A prayer warrior, a soldier, friend, you can change the destiny of your children. You can change the future of your friends. You can change the atmosphere of your church. I beseech you that you would become a real person of prayer. Number two, prayer unites the entire family of God. We ask about unity and why there's not more unity in the church, not just a local church, but the church universal. And that's because there's simply not enough prayer. When you read the story in the book of Daniel chapter 10, and I've always found it very fascinating, that Daniel prayed, and he didn't get an answer, and he prayed again, and the Lord spoke to him through an angel, and he said, I heard you when you first prayed, but he said, the devil hindered me for 21 days when you prayed. But he said, I appeal to Michael, the archangel. He came, and now your prayer is answered. What's interesting in this story, he was present. Not only is the devil there, but he has to confront the entire family of God, because Daniel is there, Michael is there, and God is there. When you pray, my friend, you're no longer alone. Now you have God with you. You have angelic errand runners with you, and it simply brings the whole family to God. And so if you want real power with God, learn to be a person of prayer, and you'll never, ever be in the battle alone. It's terrible that we that have all these resources fight alone when we've got an army with us. When Jesus was on the cross, the nails didn't hold him there, but the love did. But he could have called 10,000 angels. If Christ could call those angels, we can call those angels. And prayer is what does that. Number three, prayer gives the believer, the saint of God, while he is on earth, a presence in heaven while we are still living on earth. I talked to a man that bought a building in Washington, D.C., and he pastored another city. And I said, why do you want a building in Washington, D.C.? And he said, well, I'm trying to lobby people for the benefit of the church, and it gives me a presence in Washington, D.C. We read the story of Cornelius. Cornelius is one of those people that we like to talk about. They're so sincere. Those are the people that call themselves Jehovah Witness or call themselves Mormons. We might disagree with their theology a great deal, but you have a real difficulty questioning their sincerity when they're out riding their bicycles two by two, knocking on doors, when they're diligently trying to convert people to their religion. It's sincerity. Cornelius was one of those people. He didn't have a lot of truth, but he had great sincerity. Friend, if you will pray, your sincerity will avail truth to you. But not only does it do that, it gives you a presence in heaven. The Bible said that God spoke to him through the angel, and he said, your prayers and your alms have given you a memorial in heaven while he was yet alive. There are people, praise God, that still are living on this earth, but they already have a presence in heaven because they're people of prayer. If you're a person of prayer, the disciples know you by name because you have a memorial in heaven. If you're a person of prayer, angels know who you are. And when you do that, oh, when you have that memorial in heaven, it opens up the heavens for you that when you hunger and thirst, God will fill you. When God has got business on earth, he will check in with you. If you will study the Old Testament from Abraham to Jacob to many other people, when God got ready to do business on earth, he checked in with people. If you are a person of prayer, it gives you a presence in heaven, and it means that God actually communicates with you. Before something happens in your family, God consults you. It's a wonderful thing when you became a partner with Christ. We talk about the heir being an heir of the Father and a joint heir with Christ, just about the inheritance, what we will receive. But we also have to realize it gives us a partnership. We are in league with heaven. We're not just here on this earth by ourselves, but we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. The angels are with us. The saints that have gone on before us are aware of us because they say there is a person of prayer, and a person of prayer is a tremendous person of power. The Bible said, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you are a real person of prayer, the prayer of the saints never die. You might have prayed it yesterday or 6 months, but that prayer is still there. It's ascending before God like an incense, and God hears your prayer. Number four, prayer aligns us with the will of God. And it is so important that we are with the will of God and aligned with the will of God. Sometimes we desire things that are not God's will. Believe me, if it's not God's will, no matter what you're thinking at the moment, you don't want it. Because God does set high, but he does look low. God understands the whole picture. You might have tunnel vision, but God has panoramic vision. You might see the beginning, but God sees the end from the beginning. And so you do never want the things of life to come to you if they're out of the will of God. The worst thing that happened to Israel was they prayed for a king and got one. It was not the will of God. But when you pray, it aligns you with the will of God. Our own Savior, Jesus Christ, said, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The Bible teaches us through the teaching and the writings of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There are just so many things that I know to pray for that I pray about. But there are things that are about to happen that I have no inkling of. There are things that are going to occur that I just don't know yet. But the Holy Spirit that dwells in me knows the end from the beginning. So if I become a person of real prayer, if I say, I know that God knows my needs, but that's not what is important here. What is important here is that I align with the will of God. And I begin to pray. God can not only orchestrate things in my life, which he does. The Bible said that he will cause men to give under our bosom. I believe that's after we've prayed. God will make sure the right people show up. He'll make sure the right person is on the job. When I got injured so bad, the first doctor told Pastor Becky that I would not live through the weekend. And he said, if he does, I'm going to do this kind of surgery. Well, when Monday morning came, that doctor was unavailable. And I had another doctor that had a totally different outlook and a totally different procedure. What happened was, this church prayed. They prayed all over America. Some churches stopped their services and prayed for me on that Sunday. My family prayed. I've prayed for a lifetime. And because of that, God removed a doctor that was not going to be the best and put the right doctor in the place. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it means to pray in the Spirit of God. You don't always know, but God always knows. Prayer aligns you with the will of God. Sometimes it means you're going to apply for a job and not get it because the very next day a man's going to offer you a better job with more money and more benefits. Sometimes you're going to have somebody you want to marry and it just doesn't work out. It's because God's got a better spouse for you. Sometimes you don't get the car you want because God's got a car that's going to be better for you. God's got an opportunity for you. God knows every sparrow that falls, so he knows everything about your life. And prayer aligns you with the will of God, that you don't push on, that you just don't assist it, that you don't pull the door open with your own volition, but you stand there and wait for God to open a door that no man can shut. And when God shuts a door that no man can open, instead of curse God and blame fate, you say, praise God, God's up to something. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do. There is a unity with God that prayer brings you that nothing else does, where you will accept things and say, God is doing something that I'm not aware of, but praise God, I'm going to stay hooked up. I'm going to stay on board until I see what God does this time. I don't know what your track record is with God. My track record with God is not as good as I would like for it to be, but I can tell you God's track record with me is altogether perfect. I just realized at my stage in life, when things don't happen like I want them to, I don't get nearly as impatient, Sister Gloria, as I used to. I used to just boil over with frustration. I don't know why that's not happening. I really know what it means to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because when that door won't open, I say, God's got another door he's going to open. It's going to be a better door. When a door slams shut, I say, oh, God didn't want me to go there because God's got a better way for me. That's what prayer does. It soothes your mind. It gives you peace that passeth understanding. You say, I don't know what's happening, but I do know this. I know God is in charge. I know that God will withhold no good thing from me. I know that God loves me. I know that God sees the end from the beginning, and the end is always better than the beginning with God. God's got something big in store for me, so I'm going to pray. And the prayers of saints just never, ever die. And finally, number five, prayer increases the capacity of the believer to receive the good things that God won't withhold. It's not that God will not give us, it's that we simply do not have the capacity. God cannot give. Brandon's going to preach about things that God can't do. God cannot give you blessings that you don't have capacity. Somebody said, well, my cup runneth over. Some people's cups are empty and it's still running over because they have no capacity. They got a hole in the bottom of their cup. I used to have a friend which was a jerk, and he was so much fun. Jerks can be lots of fun. Somebody asked Daryl Hooper about one of my friends and said, that guy's the worst. Said, why is Steve Fender friends with him? He said, we've all got best friends we can't stand. they're just fun. And my friend was fun. One of the things he did at a church social we did, he took a paper cup, cut the bottom out of it, and went over to all the precious sisters that were running the tea pitchers and said, "Here, pour me a cup of tea, would you?" And he'd hold the cup real close to the person that was pouring the tea, and the tea was going right through the cup on their own feet as they poured it out. He thought that was hilarious. I was a teenager, and I thought it was funny now. Now he needs to be punched. That's what time will do to you. You change what you think is funny. But a lot of people got a hole in their cup. They just don't have the capacity to receive. God does it, but not for them. It happens to their friend. It happens to their neighbor. It happens to, because they simply do not have the capacity. Prayer increases your capacity. You remember the woman in the Bible? She had a husband that was older and she couldn't conceive, but a prophet of God came by her continually. It's not good enough that God bypasses you continually. Some people come to Sunday service and God passes by them every Sunday morning, but on Monday they got nothing to show for it. Some of you, God passes to your house every Sunday, and when you get Monday, you're still full because you have developed a capacity to receive the things that God does not withhold. So you remember the little woman, she said to her husband, she didn't say to him, "You're old and impotent." That's what she meant. "You just can't cut the mustard anymore, honey, and I still want a baby." But she said, "I just think we ought to do this. We need to build a room on our house. We need to put in that house, in that room, a chair, a bed, a candle, a table, and there would be a real good place for that man, that prophet that comes by and passes us by continually to quit passing us by. He would actually stop and spend the night with us. And once he spends the night with us," she's saying in her mind, "he's going to be obligated. He's going to do things for us that he doesn't do for other people that he passes by." And sure enough, he began to stay there. That became his little, there was a light on. They kept the light on for him, like Tom, whatever his name is, at Motel 6. That became his little Motel 6. It wasn't the Hilton, but it was a place for him to get out of the cold and out of the rain. And finally one day he said, "You've been good to me." He said, "You've made a place for me. What can I do for you?" And she said, "I want a child." And he said, "It's going to happen." She knew that it meant it was going to be a miracle because she was married to that old codger, and she knew that it was going to take a real miracle for her to conceive. But lo and behold, it did happen. Ladies and gentlemen, it might seem like life has passed you by, but if you're living and breathing here this morning, I tell you, if you become a person of prayer, no matter what your age is, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your social background is, if you become a person of prayer, what it will do is it will increase your capacity to receive the things that God does not want to withhold. I heard a message in tongues interpretation one time, and it was profound. I hear a lot of them that I don't remember, but this was profound. God said, "I'm displeased with you." I'm paraphrasing. God said, "I'm displeased with you. Because every service I come and meet with you and I pass out gifts. And when I come back, the gifts are still unopened." They simply didn't have the capacity in that church to receive what God was doing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will learn the art of praying without ceasing, you say, "I just don't have the time." Oh, yes, you do, because you fuss about the traffic. About Joel Osteen's prayer life, but I can tell you this, he has the ability to be the greatest prayer warrior in the world because he never preaches a sermon where he doesn't mention the problem of traffic in Houston. And so Joel, if you ever hear this message, I'm preaching to you now, you're in traffic a lot, you're sitting still, just use that as your prayer time, Joel, because it must be 3 or 4 hours a day that you could pray in the traffic. Every one of us have time to pray. We just don't take advantage of it. We sit in the traffic. We wait in offices all kinds of time. You say, "Well, I can't pray like that." You need to learn all kinds of prayer. The Bible said pray with understanding and pray in the Spirit. Sometimes you might want to pray on top of your voice. Well, go to the prayer room. If you might want to scream and holler, go to your own bedroom. Sometimes you need to just close your eyes and let your subconscious begin to pray while you're sitting in the dentist's office. And they come in, and now it's not 30 minutes wasted. It's 30 minutes of unleashing the power of God and creating your capacity. And now when you walk out of that dentist room, you not only have a new feeling in your tooth, praise God, you've got a bigger capacity, and God is going to conceive something in you that is absolutely, positively miraculous, and you will never know where or when, but it was sitting in the dentist office that your daughter got saved. Oh, she got saved later, but it really happened in the dentist office when you were praying. It really happened in the traffic jam on I-30 when you were bogged down and just sitting there while the big trucks were lined up in front of you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a tremendous power we have, and we thank God for these singers. I marvel at all the talent in this platform, and I hear these people sing, and it just causes great things to happen in us and creates the atmosphere. That's a wonderful gift, but it's not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is that you have authority with God, that you can talk to God and God responds. God puts in you the gifts that he wants to deposit in humanity, and all of us benefit. Friend, if you can't become a great prayer warrior yet, you just don't know how, attach yourself to a great prayer warrior. It will rub off on you. I went to Bible school with a guy. He was a wonderful guy. He was real large, great, just real quiet, but a great loving guy. And I used to go to the chapel every day and pray for about an hour. And I would pray in the chapel real loud. I prayed like I'm preaching. That's just the way I like to pray in the chapel at Bible college. And Bill said to me one day, "Pastor Steve, will you let me know when you're going to pray?" He said, "Because I really don't know how to pray. But," he said, "I want to come and listen to you pray. I want to learn to pray." And so I'd be praying. There wouldn't be anybody but you, but me in the prayer room and Bill. And Bill wouldn't get down. He'd just sit there and watch while I prayed. And it wasn't very many weeks until after a while I noticed that Bill wasn't sitting anymore. He was kneeling just like I was. And I lived to watch Bill become a great preacher, and I felt like I had a little part in that, because he learned the power of prayer, that prayer was exciting, that prayer was challenging, that prayer was power, that prayer was an opportunity. And when I prayed, doors opened to me. I've never had a problem with closed doors. Doors have always opened for me. Wherever I've been in life, doors have always opened. Whether it was pulpits to preach in, whether it was bankers to give me money, doors always open. I think it's because I understand why we pray. We don't pray to God to notify him of anything. The only person that is not changed when I pray is God. The devil has changed. My family has changed. I am changed. The church has changed. My friends are changed. But God's not changed, because he's been a good God all the time. It's always been his will to bless me. It's always been his will not to withhold any good thing from me. It's always been his will to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. It's always been his will to manifest blessings in my life. And when I pray, I have the capacity to receive all of that. Will you stand on your feet right now? And if you've never done it before and you're a first-time visitor, let me just ask you to do this. Lift your hands to the Lord. You say, "Well, I can't do that." Oh, you would if a policeman told you would. Well, friend, when you lift your hands, you're not going to get shot. When you lift your hands, you're going to get blessed. God loves uplifted hands. It means, "God, I surrender my being to you." If you're in this building right now and you've got something in your life, God knows about it, and God wants to fix it.